So there is kind of a Santa Claus. And God is a little bit the same way. People start thinking, and they think, well, God's up there on that throne. And even if he is keeping track of all of our thoughts, why would he want to? I mean, would you want to keep track of everybody's thoughts just in Boise alone and tabulate whether they're naughty or nice? No, you wouldn't really want to do that. That would be really boring work doing that. But there's all kinds of agents of God that keep track of everything. Your soul is in meditation deep, and it can focus on anything in your life. Before we came here, we were one with our souls, and we made a plan for our life as to what we want to accomplish. And we could look down and see approximately what's going to happen and the opportunities that's going to present themselves to us. And we can plan ahead on them. Now, nobody knows the future exactly, and even from the higher aspect of the soul, you can't predict everything that's going to happen. But consider, it's a little bit like this. Consider if you had a supercomputer, and you put all the information in it that was accessible to man. You could maybe predict the future, maybe the stock market pretty accurately. You could predict a lot of things that we can't predict now. If we had a super-duper computer that had all the data in it and intelligently was able to put the data together. Well, this is the way it is from the other world. It's like the whole spirit world itself is like a giant computer. And it puts everything together and it projects what's going to happen. And we can look and see, and it can see maybe about 90% of our life pretty accurately. But we always have free will, and we can always screw things up, and which is really pretty easy to do. But anyway, we look in conjunction with our soul that's in tune with the solar angel. We can look and we can see what's going to happen, and we can make plans as to what to do. And we make plans as to what we're going to accomplish. And in this life, there are certain triggers that happen. That we, in conjunction with our soul, plan certain things that created certain triggers. So when we reach a certain point in our life, we have maybe like a feeling, a deja vu or something like that. And we think, boy, I feel like I've been through this before. And when you feel that way, it's often because you're repeating something that you kind of rehearsed before you were born, because you're looking into the future and planning your life. And when you reach that crossroads where that plan is at a crucial point, you'll have a feeling, a deja vu or familiarity, or that situation will seem familiar. Anyone encountered something like that before? I bet Susan has, haven't you? But, so this happens, and it's important that we're in tune with our souls. Because if we're in tune with our souls, when we reach these forks in our life, that we don't know whether to go this way or this way, there's one direction that our soul planned for us to take. Now, every once in a while, the soul doesn't care. You know, we reach a fork in our life, and both of them will go pretty much the same way. But there's many other times we'll reach a fork where it's important we make the right decision. And this is where it's important to have communion with our souls. Because if we have communion with our souls, then we'll receive some type of clue. Now, if we're really dense, our soul might try to send us something in a dream state. Pay attention to your dreams, especially if you reach in a point in your life, maybe you're changing jobs, or you found the love of your life, or something that's going to create a fork, where one decision will take you to an entirely different place than another decision. It's important here to look for clues. And the clues are given to us a number of different ways. If the person is sensitive, he'll just feel that for some reason I feel I need to go this direction. It'll just feel right. And when you take it, it feels right. And in this case, your soul will be sitting back thinking, oh, you got the message. Good, I can relax. Okay? But many times it's not that easy with the soul. Sometimes we'll come to that fork and we'll be thinking, which way should I go? And you kind of want to go to the left, but your soul really wants you to go to the right. And you're kind of stubborn, though. You think, well, it would be easier to go to the left. But your soul wants you to go to the right. And so your soul sees you're not listening, so it gives you a dream. And, well, you kind of ignore the dream, and then when you wake up, you forget about it. So your soul thinks, well, what can I do next? So maybe it speaks to the mind of some good friend of yours and gives that friend an impression to tell you to make that decision going to the right. And your friend says, hey, you know, I think you should do this. And still you ignore the guy. You know, well, I really wanted to go this way because it's easier. You know, it's easier and I can have a good time. The other ones, if I choose the path to the right, it's going to be a big struggle. And so the soul will keep giving you clues as to the way that you're supposed to go. And so it's important that we tune in and we be open. But the first step in contacting our solar angel and being in tune with the solar angel is to believe that something like this is possible. As many people think that communion with anything supernatural is just not even to be looked at. Many people who believe in God even make fun of it. Some politician, for instance, says, yeah, I think God told me to run. I mean, he gets laughed out of town. Well, maybe his soul did tell him to run. Maybe it's just his emotions. Maybe his soul really told him not to run. But he's just stubborn and thinks it feels good, so therefore God wanted him to run. So you never know from looking from our angle. But what's interesting about that is whenever anybody says, yeah, I prayed about it and I feel I should run for a senator or president or whatever. I mean, the guy just laughed out of town whenever this happens these days. Now, 20, 40, 50 years ago, a politician could say that and people would give him the benefit of the doubt. Say, well, maybe it was inspired, unless he's the opposite party of the guy making the assessment. But anyway, it's people becoming more and more cynical on one hand and more believing on the other. We're reaching a point in our evolution where there's a division among people. And it's that way in everywhere where there seems to be a lot of truth. We're going to talk about health later. And you know, when I first got interested in health, I was about 19 when I started changing my diet and paying attention to what produced good health. And after I got into it somewhat, I thought, boy, you know, this is permeating society more. I'll bet by the year 2000 or so, everybody's going to be interested in good health and good nutrition and stuff like that. And it didn't turn out at all the way I expected. In some ways, people are eating and taking worse care of their health than ever before. They're eating a lot of more corrupted foods than ever before. But there's a certain percentage that have evolved the way I anticipated. So, in other words, the way it's happened, we went from, you know, everybody eating not too bad to a large segment of society just progressively eating worse and worse and more pollution and more bad stuff. And then maybe about a quarter of the people evolving the other direction and being more particular and eating, learning more about nutrition and health and eating better and taking better care of themselves. So we have a certain segment of the population seems to be getting worse and farther away from the truth, and a minority getting closer and closer to the truth and what produces good health. And this is the way it seems to be in all truth. And I think it's this way politically. I think it's this way spiritually. Spiritually, You have people becoming more and more hardened atheists on one hand, very atheistic. Even a lot of people that say they believe in God really make fun of people whenever they recount a spiritual experience. I mean, they laugh them out of town, even though they believe in some God of some kind. They join the atheist. If you ever been on any of these, especially these political blogs, some of them, they are really cynical. Even people that say they believe in God will attack you if you mention anything about accepting anything spiritual. It's amazing on these political blogs, about three quarters of them just come out of the woodwork and ferociously attack me whenever I say anything that mentions a belief in the supernatural or anything supernatural. So, and not only me, but the other few that do it. And so the spiritual people stay away from these type of blogs because they get tremendously attacked. And it didn't seem to be that way when I was younger. People did make fun of things, but we all made fun of certain things.